Coming up on this edition of Sports and Stuff, a recap of Week 2 in the NFL. I'll discuss Antonio Brown's first game with the New England Patriots and a couple of key injuries happening in this week in football. And speaking of this week in football, we saw a rematch of the Los Angeles Rams and New Orleans Saints. I'll talk about my thoughts on that. And a famous singer passed away this past week, as well as a recap of the anniversary of 9/11 a little later on in the show. All this and plenty more coming up on Sports and Stuff, presented right here on the app and EPRN. Village Pizza is the family-owned East Hampton, Massachusetts establishment that has been serving the local community for over 40 years. Well known for their delicious Greek-style pizza pies and the best local spot to go hang out and watch a Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox, or Patriots game. Village Pizza, 100 Union Street, East Hampton. Proud sponsor of Sports and Stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sports and Stuff. It's glad to have you with us here on the show this week listening. I'm John Meisner, and got a lot of scores and updates and highlights to get to here in football this week, so let's waste no time and get right to it, shall we? Hope all is well and everybody's enjoying the last few days of summer as we officially get to fall starting next week. So, as far as football is concerned, week two of the NFL went a little something like this. The Patriots dominated the Miami Dolphins this week. They've just been rolling over everybody so far, even though it's only been two games. They crushed the Steelers last week, and they just annihilated the Dolphins, who were just off to a horrible start. Gotten blown out in their first two games. They're practically rebuilding at this point, as far as I'm concerned. But New England wins that 43 to nothing. 43 nothing. The Dolphins get shut out at home for the first time in a long time. I think that's the first time New England's ever shut them out in Miami, where they've had all sorts of problems winning over the years. Yeah, I think Miami and Denver are the two places that Tom Brady has struggled in the most as far as visiting cities go. But he was able to beat the Dolphins on Sunday. Antonio Brown had a good first game with New England at 4 receptions for 56 yards. He caught his first touchdown pass from Tom Brady, one of two on the day for Brady. And so it's good to see Brown was targeted quite a bit early in that game. So looks like him and Brady are trying to get on the same page as far as their rhythm and the routes that he runs. So Brown looked pretty good, but the whole team looked just dominant. I mean, the one thing that stood out about the Patriots so far early in the season has just been how dominant their defense is. In the first two games, they have given up a total of 3 points on defense. That is insane. That is amazing. 3 points, and I know it's only two games, but going back to last season, over their last six games overall, if you count the playoffs, I mean, the Patriots have hardly given up anything at all, really. I mean, just I think only like between the Super Bowl and the first two games. I mean, it's only been 6 points, really. So it's just an incredible start the Patriots have gotten off to. Their defense is playing outstanding. They've already added Antonio Brown, which is going to already make them even better. I mean, they already were a championship caliber team to begin with, but I mean, now they're just looking like they're going to run away with the with the best record this year. But it's too early to tell. You know, obviously, still a long season to go. There are many games left to be played, but so far, boy, New England looks so dominant. As long as they stay healthy, I don't see anybody really slowing them down. I mean, the only one negative to take out of that game against the Dolphins really was the kicking game. I mean, Steven Gostkowski did miss the field goal on an extra point on a couple of occasions, I think. So he's got to start. I don't know. He just needs to start making the kicks and making the field goals and the extra points more. Either practice them or just, I don't know, I mean, they did say on the CBS broadcast that he has a new placeholder, so maybe that might have something to do with it. But, I mean, what it comes down to is the kick. I mean, not just the – I mean, yeah, you got to set up the ball and be the placeholder, but he ultimately has to kick the ball through the uprights, and he's not doing that. So he's got to do that a little more, Kostowski. He's been great at it for the most part in his career, but there have been times he's kind of been a little inconsistent over the last couple of years. Not to take anything away from him, but still, just got to be a little more consistent. Don't want any concerns if you're the Patriots. But other than that, just a dominating effort by New England, just from start to finish. It was just all us. I mean, and like I said, the Dolphins are just rebuilding at this point. They you know, I thought it was interesting they brought this up on CBS on Sunday. You know, they said they were tired of going like 8-8 or 7-9 every year. So they figured if they tank, they'll get a high draft pick and rebuild. Well, the players don't like that because the players want to win. But Brian Flores, who's in his first year coaching after he left the Patriots coaching staff, the players don't like the way he's handling things. I mean, he wants to kind of go along with what the owners want of trying to rebuild, and you know, and the players want to win now, and they don't like that. They don't like the play selection. They don't like the way he's handling things. So, yeah, he's pretty much trying to make them, you know, tank and be a bad team, and they want to be good. So, yeah, just a conflict of issues, I think, in Miami. There's some turmoil, some drama down there, but they're 0-2 right now, and doesn't look to be getting any better for the Dolphins. So, anyway, that's the Patriots game in a nutshell. The other scores I'll get to here, Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Carolina Panthers 20-14. The Ravens beat the Arizona Cardinals 23-17. Baltimore's 2-0. The Detroit Lions beat the Los Angeles Chargers 13-10. The Colts win a squeaker against the Titans 19-17. So the Colts win their first game. The San Francisco 49ers beat the Cincinnati Bengals 41-17. Jimmy Garoppolo had a great day, and so they roll over Cincinnati. The Texans beat the Jaguars in a very close game. 13-12 was the final on that one. Deshaun Watson and the Texans get their first win of the young season. Nick Foles has been hurt for the Jaguars. He left that game with an injury, I believe. So he is nobody knows when he'll return. It might be a while. So if that's the case, that'd be a shame for Jacksonville after having, you know, already signed him to a long-term contract. And having given him all that money, they're going to need him. That would be a costly blow for the Jaguars if he's out for any length of time. So they have to hope he comes back soon, because they're relying on him. So Jacksonville loses by 1 point. The Packers beat the Vikings in a divisional showdown, 21-16. The Cowboys beat the Redskins 31-21. Dallas looks pretty good right now, too. Dak Prescott and company. The Seahawks win over the Steelers in a close game, 28-26. Ben Roethlisberger left that game with an injury early in that game. And so that's something to keep our eyes up for as well. So Foles is hurt. Roethlisberger got hurt. And Drew Brees got hurt as well. I'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, Roethlisberger left with, I believe it was a shoulder injury or hand injury. I can't exactly remember, but it was something with his arm. He got hurt badly and had to leave that game. So, yeah, that's an even bigger blow, I think, if it's Roethlisberger, because he's a star. I mean, Nick Foles is, you know, he's good too, but, I mean, Roethlisberger's just been at it longer, so he's naturally going to get more attention. So you just have to hope he comes back for the Steelers. But New England doesn't mind at all. They're doing just fine. the Steelers are 0-2. Boy, who thought we'd be saying that on week two? The Steelers are 0-2 to start the year. Wow. Yeah, wouldn't have saw that coming. So anyways, we move along here. The Buffalo Bills beat the Giants 28-14. The second week in a row, actually, the Bills went to MetLife Stadium because they played the Jets last week, so they ended up facing the Giants again. Funny they actually go to MetLife Stadium twice this year because the Giants and Jets play in the same stadium. So the Bills win 28-14. The Chiefs beat the Raiders 28-10, but boy, Patrick Mahomes is just amazing. I mean, four touchdown passes, about 443 yards passing. I just think it's a two-team race at this point, folks. I don't see anybody really catching New England or Kansas City. I mean, the Bills are 2-0. The Bills might hang around and maybe get a wild card spot, but because they have a great defense. But I just don't see anybody catching those two teams overall. I mean, it's going to be, if you're asking me who the two teams would be left at the end of the season in the AFC, it's New England and Kansas City. I think that's what it's going to come down to ultimately. But we'll see. I mean, stranger things have happened. So we'll see what happens. But still, Chiefs just all over the Raiders, 28-10. The Rams and the Saints meet for the first time this season in a rematch of the NFC Championship game from last year, where that controversial missed pass interference call pretty much led to the change in rules to allow pass interference to be reviewed. That's left a lot of that's pretty much opened up a can of worms, so to speak. I mean, it's because nobody knows what to review and what to challenge, and it's hard on the players and coaches because, you know, if you're, you know, in playing in the secondary on defense, you don't know how hard to hit a guy, and you won't know what can be called and what isn't. So it's hard for the players, and it's hard for the people, you know, determining calls on judgment. I mean, you're reviewing judgment is what you're reviewing, and it's just hard because, you know, what one set of referees may see as pass interference, one might not. So it's too confusing. It's a lot of gray area. You know, nobody knows how much contact is allowed. It's going to be tough as the season goes on what they determine is and is not pass interference. But, I mean, the only reason they had to implement this was because an egregiously bad missed call happened last year between the Rams and Sams. Or, excuse me, Rams. I can't even talk. Rams and Saints. I think I just mixed the words up there for a second. Rams and Saints. So, I mean, I understand why they had to put it in, but still, it's just, you know, it's... You know, I don't know. I mean, I understand why they put the rule in place, but still, it's just hard to review judgment just in general. I mean, it's just the nature of it. You know, it's hard to say what clearly defines pass interference and what isn't, and how much contact is too much, and what is you can get away with. It's just hard to determine it for the players. You know, it's kind of a, you know, again, judgment. It's just more. It's just hard, but maybe they'll figure it out as the year goes on. We'll see. Some people in the media don't like it. I was for it in the first place, but after the first couple of weeks, I could see why people are kind of against it. It's just hard to, you know, it's not cut and dry. It's not, you know, black and white. It's like, you know, some middle ground. It's kind of hard to see that, you know, what is and isn't PI, but anyway, the Rams beat the Saints 27-9 in that one. Drew Brees left with a right thumb injury in that game, so boy, these quarterbacks are getting hurt. Like, they're dropping like flies left and right. Maybe they might want to take on the TB12 method. No, I'm just kidding. No, the TB12 method's not for everybody, but still, it's kind of an inside joke for Patriots fans because of the TB12 method that Tom Brady uses to keep himself healthy, even at age 42. So the Saints lose that one. They lose the game. They lose they lose Drew Brees. So, not looking good for the Saints. I'd love to see a New England and New Orleans Super Bowl. That'd be just awesome, seeing them. Brees and Brady chuck it down the field like in the Super Bowl 2 years ago when the Patriots played the Eagles. That's pretty much all it was a slugfest. I was talking with a good buddy of mine the other day about, you know, what fans like as far as football goes. Would you rather see a high scoring game, or would you rather see a low scoring game with good defense? And it's an interesting question, and I'll throw this out to everybody. You know, what would you rather see? If you're asking me, I would probably rather see an offensive game, but a defensive game is what ultimately wins championships. Now, they say defense wins championships, and that's true. But, I mean, fans always complain that the low-scoring games are boring. And maybe to some extent they are, but, I mean, it is ultimately how the game should be played. I mean, coaches don't say, hey, we'll just screw the defense. We'll just throw the ball all over the place and score points. No, that's not how it works. You know, there are other aspects to the game other than the offense. There's defense and special teams and kicking, running. So it's not just all about the offense. I mean, even though that's what the NFL makes it out to be, you know, now, given how the rules protect the quarterback, it's more about, I mean, it is ultimately what comes down to, you know, who has the better defense and who's tougher, you know. So, I mean, I think as far as the product goes, it's probably better to play better defense. But for the fans, as far as, you know, watching football, what gets fans excited is you know, is scoring. It's touchdowns and throwing the ball all over the place. So, I mean, I don't know. It depends how you feel about it. I mean, I like offense, but at the same time, I mean, when you get to the playoffs, it is ultimately about who can, you know, shut the other team down defensively and win, you know. So, I think that's what it ultimately comes down to. I mean, even in high-scoring games, it really comes down to the defense at the end, or if it's a slugfest or a shootout, you know, and then it's really whoever has the ball last, you know, if you're scoring nonstop. But most of the time, it's usually, you know, who come up with the defensive stop at the end. So that's just kind of how I feel about it. But anyway, one more score I'll get to here. The Bears beat the Broncos 16-14. Chicago wins over Denver. That was an interesting finish because, you know, all of last year, what kind of plagued the Bears, the one thing that hurt them was kicking field goals. And their season ended on a missed field goal, as I'm sure some people remember, in a game against the Eagles. Their game ended against Denver on a game-winning field goal. So it's nice to see that kind of, like, you know, go in their favor instead of against them. You know, they say, you know, karma. What goes around comes around. So ultimately that's what the Bears were able to do. They got a game-winning field goal. So that was nice for them. The Bears are good. Bears have got a good defense. And Mitchell Trubisky is a good quarterback, too, for Chicago. I think they'll be very good this year. I think they'll have another good, strong season. I think the Green Bay will be a bigger challenge for them. I think the Packers definitely have something to say after going, like, what, 6-9-1 last year. I mean, they're trying to, you know, make a surge. They're trying to make a comeback. They're trying to prove to everybody that they are good again. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is back and healthy. So that could be an interesting little rivalry. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet in the playoffs this year, or have one of their games mean something a lot. So the Packers have something to prove. The Bears have something to prove with their kicking game. They've already proved it at the end of that game in a close game, so they won that. And your Monday night game for Monday Night Football will be the Browns versus the Jets. I see the Browns winning that one. I don't think the Jets are going to be very good this year. I think Cleveland will win that. I think after getting embarrassed in their first game on week one against Tennessee, they'll be ready to go. Hopefully they'll clean up their mistakes. Kind of sort of rooting for Cleveland a little bit this year. See if they can hang around and get a playoff spot. Because they got a good quarterback in Baker Mayfield. I talked about him on this show. He's a very exciting quarterback. They just have a lot of holes with their defense, and they're young and a bit inexperienced, but they're an exciting team. And it's got the city of Cleveland excited. So we'll see how far the Browns will go. So those are some scores and updates here. Those are brought to you by me, of course, as well as Village Pizza and Harold's Ice Cream, our proud sponsors of sports and stuff. And I'm trying to get more businesses to sponsor us here on the network, so bear with me. I'm doing the best I can, trying to reach out to as many people as I possibly can. So that's about the dozen. Oh, and the other game I also forgot to mention, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons. That game is in progress as I'm recording this, but as of right now, Atlanta is leading 17-6. Those are two pretty good teams, the Falcons and the Eagles. They've both been to the last two NFC champions. two of the last three, I should say. Forgot about the Rams for a second there. Yeah, the two of the last three NFC champions were the Eagles and the Falcons. So, yeah, two good teams. Carson Wentz against Matt Ryan. So, yeah, it's a good one. So anyway, that wraps up week two a little bit for the NFL. But yeah, getting back to Antonio Brown, I mentioned earlier, you know, I mean, as long as he behaves himself and doesn't show any foolishness or antics or childish behavior that he did when he was with Oakland and Pittsburgh, then I think it's a win-win for the Patriots. I think he'll definitely add to their explosive offense that they have already with, I mean, because they got four good wide receivers in there, Julian Edelman and him and Philip Dorsett. And who's the other one they have? Name escapes me. I'll think of it later, but they have good wide receivers, and you know, they, I mean, Antonio Brown's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I mean, there's no question about that. It's just, you know, can he behave himself for Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and Tom Brady? So far he has, but you know, over the whole season, we'll see. You know, he's already been accused of sexually assaulting his former trainer, which I did not like hearing, but you know, hopefully that's all in the past and he can put that aside and just focus on football. But I mean, still, if you're a player on that team, you don't want to be answering questions about Antonio Brown. It's, you know, you want to be focusing on your next game. So, I mean, it's getting taken care of privately. So, I mean, I can only hope that it doesn't become too much of a distraction. But yeah, I just hope we don't have to start hearing this every week, like that he, you know, was doing something wrong. Because then, if that's the case, he won't last in New England. I can tell you that. If he starts acting silly, then he's not gonna make it to the end of the year. So no more. No more out of Antonio Brown. Hopefully he's finally, you know, just gotten all that out of his system. Focus on winning and playing good football, being a great wide receiver that he is. We'll see what happens with him. But still, you know, I mean, I was a little iffy about the signing in the first place. I mean, I thought it was a great football signing, but as a person, I'm not a big fan of Antonio Brown. As talented of a receiver as he is, I don't care for his selfish attitude. But if he can, you know, focus on the team and not as much about himself, then it should work out. But I mean, you'd figure he'd have to, you know, do what the Patriots ask him to do, because I mean, he wouldn't have signed with the Patriots if he didn't respect them and what they're all about and how they play. So I would figure he would, you know to sacrifice some of his behavioral antics. And so far, it seems like he has. I mean, we haven't heard anything bad since he's, you know, been with the Patriots. But the whole sexual assaulting thing, that was when he was, I mean, he shouldn't be doing that to be in the first place. But I mean, but that was when he was with, I think it was when he was with Pittsburgh. So yeah, if that did happen, I mean, obviously I wasn't him, I wasn't there, but you know, it's, I don't want to get too much into that, but I'll just say that hopefully, if that was the case, what they say happened actually happened, then hopefully he's learned his lesson. And like I said, he can put it in the past and focus on football. But if it didn't happen, then you'd really have to start wondering if maybe, you know, maybe the woman he was with might have taken his actions the wrong way and maybe got a little overly sensitive about it. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for either one of them. But still, there's a lot that we don't know about that they're probably investigating. So I'll just leave it at that. But still, I mean, you know, you hate to be Antonio Brown and having this start happen to you. I mean, I don't know if he likes it or hates it or wants it, you know, the attention or not, but I mean, I hope he doesn't like this sort of thing. I mean, I'd rather be talking about how great of a game he had and how much he's been helping the Patriots than who he's, you know, screwing around with. So, but anyways, it's getting taken care of privately, but still, just hate to hear that happen to, you know, anybody. But it always seems to happen in sports for some reason. It seems like in, like, football and even basketball to some extent, but mostly football, it seems like players are always, you know, they're always getting into trouble. It's just, I don't know if it has to do with their upbringing or their values they have or the school they went to, because teachers definitely have a big, you know, effect on younger kids when they're, you know, in school. So maybe he just didn't have good mentors, I don't know, but or good family, but who knows? But yeah, it always seems to happen. You're always hearing stories like this. So yeah, it could be a number of things. We just hang out with the wrong people. I don't know. So, but anyway, Braun had a good first game. And we'll see what happens with him as the season goes on. But like I said, the Patriots are just dominant to start the year. I mean, them and like the Cowboys are looking pretty good. I mean, the Bills are 2-0, but I mean, I don't know. They don't have the best offense in the world. They got a good defense, but they got a young quarterback and an inexperienced team. So I think they'll hang around this year, but I don't think they'll win the division. I definitely see the Patriots winning the division. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots rattle off several wins in a row here to start. I don't know if they'll go 16-0 like they did several years ago, but I could see them going like 6-0 or 7-0 out of the gate. So, yeah, it'll be exciting. That's for sure. So we'll take a break and come back after this with more sports and stuff. So stay there, why don't you?
Too much buzz in the air. Listen in to What's the Buzz on EPRN. Sit back and reflect with tunes from the good old days on Reflections, hosted by Cedric Clark on EPRN. Be sure to rock on with Everyone's Rock. Exquisite Podcast Radio Network has a variety of podcast radio programs for listeners all across the globe. Take the journey, the hip-hop and R&B journey, with Greg H., or awaken and take notice to the events in your communities with Purposely Awakened, hosted by Naomi Bondman. Hang out with the gents and listen to the Elite Gents podcast. And for better results, listen in to Revealing Better Results. For sports, check out Foltzy's Corner, Sports and Stuff, hosted by John Meisner, and PSA, Prodigy Sportative Attestations. Tell a friend and listen in via EPRN's web app at app.eprn.us and listen in online at www.eprn.us.
We are back here on Sports and Stuff, and I just realized a second ago that I make these segments way too long. I gotta start cutting back on that a little bit, so I'll work on that more in the future. So anyways, we move along here. I've gotten a lot of the football talk out of the way. So now we'll get into some little show business and entertainment for everybody. Eddie Money passed away, sadly, this week at age 70. Good rocker. I was never like a huge fan of his, honestly, but I mean, I think he had a good song of Two Tickets to Paradise. Pack your bags, we'll leave tonight. He was popular and he was cool, but I don't know. He's not one of those names I get like excited about when I hear, like, you know, like if a song comes on the radio, I'm not like, oh, it's Eddie Money. Like, I just, I don't know. I was never like a big fan of his. I didn't hate him. I just wasn't, you know, I just didn't really care for him that much. But nonetheless, he was a fun musician, very talented, and definitely had an impact on the music world. That's for sure. Passed away at age 70. And I heard this on the radio the other day. His real name is not Money. His real given name he was born with, his birth name is Mahoney. Don't know if a lot of people knew that. His full name is Eddie Mahoney, but he went by Money as his nickname, but for the stage. But yeah, you know. But still, you know, the first person I think of all people, actually, when I think of somebody like Eddie Money, is a guy I actually listen to sometimes on one of my sports talk stations here in Massachusetts, Fred Toucher, who's the host of Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Yeah, he's a big music guy. He loves all the rockers from, like, his generation, and I'm sure Eddie Money's one of them. It's funny, the hosts that made mention of it on, like, the other shows, they said, like, is Fred Toucher still in the building? I don't want him to find out about this, because he'll be upset. So they didn't want him to know, but I think he probably found out on his own. But yeah, it's funny. I always think of Fred Toucher when I think of somebody like Eddie Money, because he's always imitating like the singers, like Paul Stanley from Kiss. He's got that loud rocker voice, you know. I don't want to hurt my throat because I kind of need it for the show here, but he's always he does the funniest imitations. I've done some on the show in the past, like that he's done, but you know, like Paul Stanley and Paul McCartney with his he calls him Cold Cuts McCartney, as if he ran like a sub shop. Like, hey, blind me, go to Mike Dogwood. I can't find my lettuce. he does good voices. Like, Jaromir Jagr is another one he does for the hockey players. Or, like, got to touch your skates and puck with my... oh, la, la. Or something like that. You know, just funny stuff like that. I got to... This, I don't know if I should get too dirty with this or not. Probably not. But, yeah, I go to stick handle you with my, you know, fill in the blank. yeah, but anyway, it's got a bit of a dirty side to him, the toucher does, but still, yeah, he's very funny and very entertaining, and a bit complicated at times, but still very, very fun to listen to. He's a cool guy. Yeah, him and Rich certainly do a great job on the sports. I mean, anybody's ever listened to them, they're very funny. One of the better shows in Boston, I think, as far as sports talk shows go. Yeah, it's just fun. I like when they had them on NBC Sports Boston for a while. They were just a nice, funny, awesome way to start the morning by listening to those guys. Just so much positive energy and humor. Just, I wish they hadn't taken them off of TV, because I don't always listen to them on the radio. Yeah, I mean, they were only on a 3-year deal for TV, a 3-year contract, so they took them off when their contract ran out. But, oh well, they're still doing it on the radio, so they still got that going on. But yeah, that's just a funny show. So yeah, that's just sad news if you're a music fan. Yeah, you know, in all honesty, I don't know a whole lot of any Money's other songs, other than Two Tickets to Paradise. I mean, I'm sure he had other hit songs, but I don't really, none of them really stick out of me. Like, I mean, I was never like a big fan of his, but, I mean, other than, you know, Two Tickets to Paradise, but still, you know, sad loss for the music world. That's for sure. Yeah, I definitely put him in the category of like a Gene Simmons, you know, Paul Stanley kind of rocker that always yelled and screamed everything, you know. But yeah, sometimes people, I mean, there's a difference between singing and screaming or using a raspy voice. I mean, the rockers think they're all cool because they're like screaming like, yeah, I don't know, that's not really singing, it's just kind of screaming more than anything. You know. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder if I should actually go on this show and just be like, "What's up, people?" Like no, I don't have the coolness or the rocker, spaced out hippie kind of personality to do that. I'm too nerdy and socially awkward for that. And I'm not like, "What's up, guys?" You know, like I don't do that. Because A, it hurts your throat, and B, it sounds like kind of cheesy. But yeah. I don't know. What can you do? All right. So we'll cut this segment shorter here so I don't ramble on like I did before. We'll take another break. And after this next time out, I'll talk a bit about the anniversary of 9/11 and the impact it had on the country as well as myself here. We'll talk about my personal 9/11 story right after these messages here on Sports and Stuff. You're listening to SNS on EPRN and the app. MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTWatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTWatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price. We are back here on Sports and Stuff, and as we move along here, this past week, as everybody I'm sure remembered, it was the anniversary of 9/11, and I've heard a lot of stories over this past week and read a lot about them on Facebook, just, you know, everybody's own story. Might as well give my own here. Yeah, I remember 7-Eleven. Sorry, I'm trying to get serious here, and then I say 7-Eleven. No, forget it. Anyway, sorry. I get distracted easily, as you can tell, folks, so I apologize. Sorry, I'm here. Okay, try this again. Take two. my 9-11 story is that when it happened, I was in fifth grade. I mean, I was 10 years old at the time. I had just started middle school, and I'll never forget this. I was in science class, and we were called out of class by our principal, who went to talk to us and told us what happened, you know, with the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center being hit, the Pentagon being hit, too. And I thought it was interesting, you know, adults kind of tend to, like, sugarcoat things for kids, and I think that's kind of what my principal did that day. Like, she was trying to be reassuring, but I don't know, she said, like, we specifically at the school were not under attack, but, I mean, you know, like, everything at our school was fine that, you know, that day, but I mean, you know, but we as a nation, of course, were, you know, under attack and have been terrorized, but you know, I think when I was 10 years old, it's, you know, it's not really something that I think I fully comprehended or processed very well. I mean, I knew it was really bad, but I didn't quite understand the impact it had on society. I didn't really understand that till later, but now I understand the impact it had on society. I mean, just look at the way society is nowadays. I mean, you know, people are a lot more sensitive. It just seems like, you know, so many more tragedies are happening. It's kind of, you know, that's just really unfortunate. And even when you go into, like, airports, and, you know, now they have, like, you know, metal detectors, and, you know, they really watch to see if you have guns or knives or any kind of weapons, which they didn't always have before. So they're more stricter on that. You know, it's just a more innocent time, really, 18 years ago. People just didn't worry as much, you know. But still, you know, it's one of those days you just never forget. And I remember that day coming home and like, I was trying to tell my mom what I had heard, and I couldn't put it into words because I think it's just because I was so shocked by it. And just hadn't registered to me completely, but I knew what had happened, and boy, I just remember that night. I remember, you know, President Bush coming on TV, and everybody watched it. You know, I was listening to a talk show this past week, you know, I find it interesting that 9/11 or it's a tragedy like that had such a big impact on the sports world. I mean, people at the time baseball had to kind of stop for about a week just because, you know, people just weren't able to move on from it that quickly. They needed time to heal emotionally, and people were very shaken by it. So the city of New York really needed something like, you know, baseball back in football as well. But baseball especially, I mean, you know, the Yankees won the World Series that year. You know, President Bush throwing out the ceremonial first pitch in that World Series. I mean, that was just an incredible moment, you know, for sports and just life, really. You know, and he threw a great first pitch, threw a strike, just threw it so well. Loved seeing that. And then when the Mets first came back, my mom's favorite team personally, the New York Mets, you know, their first game back that year after 9/11, Mike Piazza, who I remember very fondly as a kid, hit a two-run home run late in that game against, I think it was Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, and all those great years the Braves had. So, I mean, that was one of the most, probably one of the best sports moments as like a New York sports fan, I think. Just the, you know, not just the home run that put the Mets in the lead, but, you know, just a release of tension and just so much happiness at Shea Stadium that night. It was just beautiful. It was just a magical moment to happen. And that's one game that even, like, players on the Braves like Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones said they didn't mind losing that because, you know, it was all about New York. It was, you know, they understood, you know, what was going on, and so they you know, it was New York's. I mean, people weren't just rooting for the Mets and Yankees that year, and the, you know, the Jets and the Giants. I mean, it was all about New York. You know, that's why they all had the T-shirts. You know, I love New York. You know, became born from that. I mean, it's unfortunate it had to take a tragedy for that to, you know, to come about, to think of that. But I mean, I guess if anything, it was a good marketing campaign, at least for New York and for shirts, but I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I've always had a bit of New York in me, I think. Just, I mean, I have never lived in New York, but my family is from New York originally, and it really hit home when 9/11 happened, because my mom and her sister had a childhood friend whose husband, I think, worked in the building, I think worked in the World Trade Center. And luckily was able to, did not get seriously hurt. I forget if he had either made it out before the towers came down, or he had, or just wasn't in that day. But whatever it is, you know, I forget exactly what happened, but he made it out and was okay and survived. But, you know, I can't help but think of, you know, but get a little, you know, spiritual here when I say stuff like this, but I mean, you know, for those people that were fortunate enough to survive that, I mean, it's, you know, God was with them. I mean, really, I mean, I think it's interesting that, you know, God works his wonders in so many ways when we least expect it. I mean, some people that day, you know, they were unable to get into work or were late or something. And at the time, it's frustrating when that happens. But, you know, when you look back and think, like, man, I really dodged a bullet. Like, I could have been killed. You know, it's almost like God made that happen in a way, if you think about it. So, I mean, in some ways, I mean, it's like, I feel like, you know, it's, just trying to find the words here, but you know, not to get all too biblical on everybody, but I mean, you know, God is, I mean, I don't want to start, like, you know, acting like a spiritual maniac, whatever, but I mean, you know, God is great, and, you know, like I said, he works his wonders in a lot of ways, and you know, whether or not you say your prayers or not, you know, he's there, and he sees you, and he hears you, and he's listening. And it's interesting, at that time when the towers came, you know, crashing down, sadly, there was a piece left over that, I don't know how this happened that way, but one of the pieces formed into a cross from the building, and it's actually at the 9/11 memorial that they have now up in that spot in New York. I don't remember if I saw it, but I did go there last summer, and it's a beautiful area. It's a very, very nice building. They have waterfalls on the outside and everything, so it looks very pretty. But yeah, I think there is a cross somewhere either on the outside or the inside of the building that's from the original World Trade Center that they kept. And yeah, but still, you know, it's. It was, I mean, like I said, it was a sad day that, you know, you just never forget about. And, yeah, one of my acquaintances, or one of my friends, had a brother that actually worked there, and in the World Trade Center. And I don't think he was working that day, but for whatever reason, but was very lucky, you know, like I said. I mean, to think, Eddie, you know, like, you talk about the right place at the right time, you know, or the wrong place at the wrong time, the other way around. But, you know, the people who work in New York, I mean, God bless them. I mean, you talk about, you know, whether you were there or you were not there. It's, I mean, the ones that survived were very fortunate, and those that were not were, you know, were devastated and obviously very affected. You know, the families were affected by 9/11. But, you know, but still, I mean, all due respect has to go out to the firefighters and police officers and EMTs and all the people who work in New York who handle the emergencies like that. I mean, they were heroes that day. To all the first responders, you know, all the heroes that helped rescue the victims. I mean, they deserve a lot of credit. I mean, that's for sure. And the same can be said with, like, you know, other tragedies, like on my end, like where I live in Massachusetts. I mean, we had the Boston Marathon bombings in 2013. You know, that had a big impact on people. The Red Sox really rallied around that and helped to, you know, support the, you know, the victims. They were there for the city of Boston when we needed it. I mean, I'll never forget David Ortiz, you know, in the first game back in Boston after that happened, after the Red Sox went away for a quick series in Cleveland and came back. I remember him saying, you know, that I won't quote exactly what he said, but I'll just say he said, "This is our bleeping city." You know, the F word, he says, four-letter word. You know, this is our effing city, and, you know, nothing's going to, you know, get us down or take us away from it. I mean, that was just one of the most powerful speeches ever. Just so emotional, so passionate. I mean, there was so much heart and feeling behind that. I mean, and the city needed that. You know, they needed to hear that. You know, what better person to do it than the greatest clutch hitter of all time, in my opinion. So Ortiz really had an impact on that season at that time, as well as in the playoffs, a couple big hits he had. But still, what I was trying to get at was, you know, with the Boston Marathon and the 9/11 tragedies, is that, you know, sports are a good way to, you know, heal, you know, the emotional scars like that, and it really brings people together. You know, it's a nice way to kind of relax and, you know, de-stress from problems like that. You know, and you know, winning definitely helps as well. But just to get away from that, you know, and focus on something fun and leisurely is, you know, has a big effect on people. You know, it really does. Any kind of positive activity like that really, you know, gets people in a better place. So I think that's the point I wanted to share. That's why I brought all that up. So hope everybody was able to reflect and, you know, not dwell on 9/11 necessarily, but at least, you know, understand the world we live in and, you know, where we've come since then. So anyway, I thought I had to get a little serious and sentimental there for a few minutes. Coming up after this next break, I'll talk about what you can expect to hear in the future on this show, as well as the Sports and Stuff app. We'll be right back.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Welcome back. We don't have too much more to talk about on the show this week, but I will say this, though. Coming up next week, you'll be hearing a special guest here on the Sports and Stuff platform. Alex Foltz from EPRN will join me to talk about sports and entertainment and anything else we could think of to fill time. He is a podcast host on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, and has been kind of on and off on the network over the last few months just because he's been busy. But you will hear him and me when next we get together. And hopefully I'll be on his show in the future as well. So that should be fun. So any type of cross-promotion with any of our other network hosts is good. And if there are any hosts out there who are listening to this, let me know if you ever were interested in being a guest. I'd love to hear from you. At the same time, I'll try to be a guest on other shows as well. Try to get some more numbers in and boost the ratings. So next week here on Sports and Stuff, me and Alex Foltz will be talking sports and entertainment as long as everything goes as planned and he doesn't back out on me. I hope he doesn't, but I doubt he will. I wouldn't be happy if he did. But no, ET should be here next week, so that'll be hopefully an interesting show. So we will have that to look forward to. And you know, it's funny, now that the NFL has started. I'll mention this for actually a couple of minutes here now that I thought of it. Now, as I've mentioned in recent weeks, I've already started to announce local football games where I am. I've done one already that was kind of unexpected, but I did it, and I like to think it went pretty good. And I put it on the Sports and Stuff page as well as my own personal Facebook. So hopefully everybody got a chance to listen to that. That's been a little frustrating personally because not the game I announced, but the fact that our broadcast schedule for Greenfield Community Television has had to keep changing for just a number of reasons. Either one school backs out, which was the case with Turner's Falls High School. They had to merge with Mohawk Trail Regional, which got approved, thankfully. Or just we're not getting enough sponsors, or one of the broadcast booths wasn't big enough to hold our equipment. It's like one thing is going wrong after another, so can only hope and pray that we're able to do as many games as we can, because we've got a good product. We think we can sell to people, so we definitely want to sell it. We want to get it out there. So just hope that things don't go. That things continue to not go the wrong way for us, and that we are able to broadcast local games. I definitely want to start talking more about it on this show. I'll tell you that. It's not just national stuff. I got a local side to me as well. So, we'll try to get that on the show in the future as well. And we'll see what happens with our product, with our game of the week, and in the future, be sure to listen it on our app for more exclusive content. You'll be hearing either from me or from our guests. It should be good stuff. So be sure to want to subscribe to that on the app. Or your mobile desktop or mobile test. You combine two words together that shouldn't be together. Mobile app or your desktop or your the mobile app. Either one works. You know what I'm trying to say. So download the app today. Be sure to spread the word, and hopefully we'll have some more fun in the future with the guests and whatever else we can fill our app with as it's growing. And so there you have it. So, for everybody involved with this one here on EPRN and our Sports and Stuff app, all the good people that work at the network, I'm John Meisner signing off here this week, saying thank you very much for listening. Again, next week, tune in as Alex Foltz from EPRN will join me on the show to talk about some sports and entertainment. Should be an interesting show. Don't know what to expect. So, we'll see how that goes. And so with that, we hope to have you back here again next week, same time, same place here, EPRN and the app, as well as SoundCloud. You can also listen to our show there. I'm John Meisner. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Enjoy the start of fall. And we'll hope to have you back here again next week for more fun, more entertainment, more surprises, more content, more of everything here on Sports and Stuff. This is John Meisner signing off, saying goodbye, folks.